Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Some of you will remember a popular song of many years ago that said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And, of course, we've heard many similar songs over the years, touting the attribute of love, telling us that we need more love, telling us that more love would solve the world's problems, and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, there is a great deal of truth in that statement if it is understood biblically. But, unfortunately, it seldom is. Certainly not by the world. They don't have the foggiest idea of what real love is. But even more tragically, oftentimes, Christians don't have a much better understanding themselves. And that can be corrected. The world may not listen to the Bible. In most cases, they will not. But surely Christians will, certainly should, and I hope and trust will, if they are given teaching from the Word of God. Unfortunately, many times Christians are deprived of the very teaching they need to understand the importance of biblical love and to understand the nature of biblical love. And that's what we are trying to overcome as we come to Colossians 3:14, which says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." And so gathering together around the Word of God on this Thursday, December 1, we will continue our study of biblical love. Thank you for helping us with the finances necessary to air God's Word on this station. Love is the ultimate attribute, as this text makes clear. Above all these things, put on love. That statement, short and to the point in Colossians, is also reinforced in many other biblical texts, as we pointed out on the broadcast yesterday. And it is extremely important, indicated by that phrase, "above all these things, put on love." This comes above others, ahead of others, above all these other things that have already been mentioned, put on love. Now, we left the air yesterday talking about a biblical understanding of love, the meaning of love, the definition of love, a description of love as it is portrayed to us in Scripture. And I'm basing much of this upon the meaning of the Greek word agape. And I pointed out yesterday that this kind of love, which is really a divine manifestation of love, first of all, and then it becomes a human exercise of love as we learn to reflect the love that God has shed abroad upon us, and as we learn to copy the same kind of love that God has demonstrated to us. But agape love is volitional. It is a decision more than an emotion. It is active. It is doing something, not just feeling warm, sentimental feelings. It is sacrificial. It is doing for others things that are difficult and costly to do. And all of this is demonstrated in that well-known text in John 3:16, which tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It was a decision, a choice on God's part to do this, not an emotion. It was acting on behalf of the ones that he directed his love to. God so loved the world that he gave. And it certainly was sacrificial love in the nature of the gift. that he gave his only begotten Son. And so biblical love is a decision and an action more than an emotion. Is emotion completely removed from biblical love? I wouldn't say that. I would just say that it trails the other things, not leads them. In the biblical idea of love, a love is a choice. Love is a decision. I am going to love the ones that God tells me to love. God says to love my wife as a husband. I will choose to do that by the help and grace of God. God tells me to love my fellow believers in Christ, and I will choose to do that by the help and grace of God. It's not always easy. There are always people in the body of Christ who are difficult, but then so am I. I'm difficult to somebody, just like some people are difficult to me. I'm sure I've said this before, but I say it again. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, now that's another story. And unfortunately, that's true. And if that were the end of it, we'd be in trouble. Because Christians can be difficult at times, but love is not the way I feel about my fellow believer in Christ. I may feel irritated. I may feel disappointed. I may feel rejected. I may feel a lot of things that are detrimental to my exercise of loving that person. But if I decide that I'm going to obey the Word of God and love them because I am commanded to, then, having made that choice, I now call upon God to show me how and to help me do it and put into action that which I know is the right decision. And that's agape love. I remember probably 35, 40 years ago now when a man and wife came into my study at the church having difficulty in their marriage. And I asked them, what's the problem? And the husband volunteered, I just don't love my wife anymore. And I said to him, when did you decide to stop obeying God? And he looked shocked. I don't think anybody had ever said that to him before, and he'd never heard that before. But I repeated it. When did you stop obeying God? And he tried to explain to me that it wasn't a matter of being disobedient. It was a matter that he just didn't feel the same way about her as he did before. And I took that occasion to explain to him that when the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that is not primarily a feeling. It is a decision. It is a matter of obedience. And that's exactly what agape love is. It is a decision, and it is intelligent and purposeful self-giving. It is intelligent in that we must decide before God what it is the other person really needs. Sometimes we salve our conscience in endeavoring to love people by just simply throwing some kind of gift at them and feeling like I'm done with that. All right, there's a need. I see the need. I'll throw some money at the need and walk away, when what may be needed more is my taking time to come alongside that person, to counsel them, to mentor them, to encourage them, to help them, to instruct them. That takes time. That takes sacrifice. But that's what agape love does. It leads us to intelligent and purposeful self-giving. We discover by spending enough time to find out what it is the person really needs. And then we endeavor by the help and grace of God to give it. Oftentimes, I've noticed that people in the body of Christ get into trouble, let's say financially. Well, sometimes the best thing to do is to give them some financial help. Nothing wrong with that. There can be everything right with that. But if their problem is they don't know how to manage their money, maybe the most important thing we can do, or maybe the second most important thing we can do after we offered some initial help, is offer to spend some time with them and teach them how to manage their money. It's surprising that a lot of people really don't know They really have never been taught. And if someone will lovingly, not with a superior, condescending, look down your nose attitude, but someone will lovingly come alongside and say, let me help you with that. Let me show you some of the things that I've learned along the way. Let me show you what God has taught me. I had problems with that early in my life, but now, by the help and grace of God, I've learned how to manage my money fairly well. I'm sure I've still got some things to learn, but I've learned how to manage my money fairly well. Would it be okay if I helped you, if I taught you some of the things that God has taught me about how to manage my money? And get to know that person, get alongside them, teach them how to analyze their need. In other words, to figure out exactly what their basic needs are. Teach them how to match their income with their outgo. In other words, teach them how to budget. Teach them how to set priorities, what's most important, what's secondly important, and so forth. Teach them how to deal with their situation if the outgo is greater than the income, as it probably is if they have a financial need. Now, of course, many times financial needs don't really rear their ugly head except in times of crisis, but what those crises often reveal is that there's been a slow, steady leak going on for a long time that's just barely manageable, and then a crisis comes along and it spills over. It tips the scales. That which was barely manageable now becomes unmanageable. I have read that the average American spends, I think, like something like 103 or 104% of their income every year. Well, obviously, there may be some years when, because of unexpected things, you might have to spend more than 100% of your income in that year, which, of course, is accomplished either, and there's two ways to accomplish that, either by borrowing, which is the way most people do it, or by dipping into savings. There's some years that our church has spent more than 100% of its income, but never by borrowing, but often by dipping into savings. When we have had needs, usually that have to do with facilities, either facility enlargement or refurbishing or some serious maintenance issues that are beyond what we can normally budget in a year, we have had to dip into savings. And if you look at the balance sheet at the end of the year, you will discover that we may have, not always, but in some years, have actually spent more than 100% of our income, but did so by dipping into savings, and that's really the right way to do it. But of course, if you don't have any savings, you can't. And if people are living at 100% or more of their income year after year after year, and are doing it by borrowing, credit card debt or whatever, then when the crisis comes, they have no reserve. They basically have very little credit. Their credit is stretched to the max, and so the crisis comes. So people need to learn. I remember talking to a young married couple some years ago about how to purchase an automobile, and they'd never heard anything before like what I was sharing with them, because the only thing they had ever known, the only thing that they had observed in their own home, was when you want a car, you go out and buy a car, and you finance it, and you make the payments. And I suggested a different way to them, which time will not allow me to explain. But the point is that love, Christian love, agape love, often requires some sacrificial giving of our time more than our resources financially. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.